Good morning. This is Video Nasties, and you're listening to the Bear Jew. Thank you for listening. So, my car won't start. That's one way to start the day, start the morning. So, I'm probably going to have to call AAA and get it jumped. I'm going to wait for the weather to warm up a little bit. I'm going to give it a couple hours, and then I'm going to try starting it again. But in the meantime, I'm sitting here in my car studio without heat because the car won't start. So I'm smoking some LA Kush Cake. Somehow I ended up smoking too much LA Kush Cake yesterday. It laid me out a little bit, but I did have some, well, I guess I can't say good, decent viewing experiences last night. Before I get into those, I should clear up some things. I know there was something else I wanted to say about Don't Look Up. I mean, I don't know. I think there was something else I wanted to say about it, but of course I'm not remembering it right now, so we'll skip over that for now. So what did I watch last night? Well, I watched Metropolis, the Fritz Lang classic, which I had never seen before. And it is amazing. I can see how it influenced sci-fi for generations after that. It's amazing, it's beautiful, it's opulent, the sets are amazing. I think it influenced Blade Runner with like its cityscape images and the flying cars, and I ended up falling asleep. I was thinking about it, like the movie's 100 years old. Obviously it's from a different time and it is dated. Everybody has like pale makeup on, like white face on. It's weird, but it's still like a really cool movie. I didn't get to the part with the robot girl. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a cool movie. I wasn't like totally bowled over by it, but it's always interesting to watch silent films. And I have discussed silent film on here previously on the To Sleep So As to Dream episode, and I do have this kind of thing with silent film, this relationship with silent film. I see it as like being closer to visual art in a way. And I like, I'm very much into surrealism, Jean Cocteau, Salvador Dali, Louis Buñuel, and then on to David Lynch. I mean, you name it. So, do I see myself in that lineage? Perhaps a little bit. I don't think I really get into that stuff, though. I'm more of a Tarantino guy. I'm more in that lineage. At least that's how I see myself. But anyway, speaking of David Lynch, so I fell asleep during Metropolis. I woke up, smoked a little weed, and then I finally watched The Making of Dune. So the Dune documentary on Arrow, which is about the making of David Lynch's Dune, which I hadn't seen in years, and there are a lot of clips from it in the documentary, a lot of footage. So that was cool to see. But at the same time, I kind of like to rewatch the movie before I like get into all that. I kind of see it almost like the way, back in the day, back in the 2000s, you'd rent a DVD and then you would watch the movie and then you'd watch the supplemental features. I always like to watch that stuff the next day. I don't like to watch it right after, but it's that kind of idea. So I would have rather watched David Lynch's Dune and then watch the documentary. But I watched the documentary and it's fascinating. It's great. You should watch it. I forget what it's called. I think it's like called something, the making, colon, the making of Dune, I think. And I in that case, I what was I gonna say? Yeah, so check out the making of Dune. I'm sorry. It's really early. I smoked too much yesterday. My car won't start. I need money. I'm just like feeling fucked up today. I gotta call the IRS about taxes. It's just life fucking me in the ass as usual. I made some bad decisions in my life, some bad choices, and I'm dealing with those decisions. I'm dealing with those choices that I've made. So, yeah, watch The Making of Dune. Oh yeah, I don't know if Dune, David Lynch's Dune is available on Blu-ray. I don't know how I would have watched it, but I do want to watch it again now. I do really like that movie. I prefer it to the new one, the Denis Villeneuve one, which ended up winning five or six Oscars the other night. I think six Oscars, all technical. It pretty much swept the technical awards, aside from hair and makeup, which went to the eyes of Tammy Faye, and then I think cinematography went to the power of the dog, maybe? I'm not sure. So anyway, that's that. Then after that, I watched a 90s vampire movie. I might kind of get into my 90s vampire movie kick with like Habit and like the Larry Fessenden movie and The Addiction. And then there's this one, which is Night Owl. That's what it's called. And there were things I liked about this movie. I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was kind of in the lineage of like other. One second. Dope. Didn't start. Okay. Other like 90s American independent cinema, which is some of my favorite cinema ever in history. And also there's the appearance of a certain actor who I'll get to. Here we go. Night Owl. This is from 1993, and this is from the Arrow streaming app. So it's 1 hour 19 minutes, United States, directed by Jeffrey Arsenault. Quote, Jake, James Rafferty, I'm sorry, Raftery, is an apathetic post-punk vampire who spends his nights cruising seedy music dives for drugged-out women to seduce and kill to satisfy his bloodlust. After murdering Zora, a young Puerto Rican woman, Jake becomes the focus of her brother Angel, who's desperate to find his missing sister and fears that Jake might be involved in her disappearance. In Ode to East Village Sleaze, Jeffrey Arsenault's Night Owl is an unflinchingly gritty modern-day vampire story set in a world of dingy house music playing dive bars, pizza parlors, and other drug and misery-filled lower Manhattan locales. Co-starring a young John Leguizamo, there he is, the fan Summer of Sam, in one his earliest roles, I think that's a typo, alongside Warhol superstar Holly Woodlawn. And photographed in deliberately grimy black and white 16mm. So, yeah, there's some things to talk about here. I thought it was an interesting plot development that after he kills this woman, her brother comes into the story and he's looking for her, almost like a psycho kind of thing. And John Leguizamo's great. I love John Leguizamo, so it's great to see him like. Early days, like he is young in this, probably like early 20s, I'm guessing. I don't know who Holly Woodlawn is. So this woman Zora, yeah, he fucks her and then he bites her on the throat and kills her, I guess, by drinking her blood. The scene, I thought the sex scene was a little much, it was a little gratuitous, a little over the top, but I was also kind of reminded like movies don't really have scenes like that. A lot anymore. You don't see like sex scenes where the woman's like howling with pleasure and you see the guy's ass. It's just like, I don't know, things have become very sanitized. So it was kind of nice to see a scene like that, kind of like, I don't know, almost a gritty, grimy sex scene, which I myself wouldn't have included. I think it, takes you out of the movie. It's awkward. It's like over the top. It's exploitative. I don't have a problem with sex scenes in movies at all. I think sex scenes belong in movies, and I think we need to bring the sex scene back into the movie. Not you, HBO, but everybody else. But in this case, it was just a little too much where it kind of took you out of the movie. But of course, the whole movie itself is kind of experimental and weird and arty, so it's already like borderline meta, I guess. So I guess, you can get away with a scene like that. Even if it takes you out of the movie, it's like the movie can still work. I don't know that this movie really works. It's definitely low budget. It's definitely cool to see an American independent movie from that era. I mean, I love that. It's cool to see New York in the early 90s. I guess the East Village, I think it's set in. Screamin' Rachel is this like performer who's in the movie. The music is cool, the bars are cool, the dive bars they were talking about, the music venues, whatever. It's all cool. Urban horror, again, I love it. I'm totally into it. I'm gonna be watching more urban horror and talking to you about it on this podcast because I really just want to get into that and Yeah, I love urban horror. So, what else do I want to talk about with this movie? Okay, yeah, the other thing I was reminded of was A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which is the Anna Lily Amirpour movie that she made. It came out in 2014, I believe. And that's kind of a cool movie. Check it out if you haven't seen it. It's like the Persian vampire movie, but shot in California or something. I don't know. But it kind of had this vibe. It was like black and white, kind of low budge, gritty, and like the kind of bringing, at first you wouldn't even know it was about vampires, and then it kind of brings it into it, and it's like, young people hooking up and then biting each other on the neck. I don't know. Just kind of the whole vibe of it was, I thought, somewhat reminiscent. I probably prefer this movie, Night Owl, to A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. I don't have a problem with that movie. I don't know. I'm a little bored by indie movies like that. But Night Owl had a real kind of like energy to it. It felt like seedy New York in the early 90s, like seedy, like lower Manhattan. So that was cool. That was a cool vibe. So I dug that about it. In the case of Anna Lily Amirpour, I like The Bad Batch better. And speaking of her, I've been thinking about my favorite millennial filmmakers. Who are my favorite millennial filmmakers? Julia DeCorno is number one by leaps and bounds. Number two would be Robert Eggers. Number three might have to be Ari Aster, even though I don't even really like him that much. I think he's an asshole. And then after that, like, number four would be David Robert Mitchell, I guess, who again I don't really like that much. And then I don't even know who number five would be. Possibly Mike Flanagan. So, I don't know. I was just thinking about that this morning. I'll probably be back on later to talk to you some more. Thank you for listening. Peace. Okay, so I've had an eventful morning and I'm back on here to talk to you fine people. I'm in my car right now. It's on, it's running. The brand new battery that I just bought is charging, so I just spent more money. I had all this money and now it's all gone. So there's that. I don't know where it all went. I know my girlfriend spent too much of it. Now she doesn't have any money and she owes me money. It's a really fucked up situation as far as money goes, but I'm looking for a job. I'm still collecting unemployment, so I'm gonna be okay. It's gonna work out. So yeah, just got this brand new battery, charging it up now. Set me back a pretty penny, but that's okay. That's okay. I'll get unemployment again in less than a week, and I'll be fine. So I'm smoking on some LA Kush cake. Somehow I ended up smoking much more of it yesterday than I wanted to. I don't know what happened yesterday. I think I got really stoned and just kind of, it was one of those days where I just kept smoking, and that's like just what ended up happening. Usually when my mom's gone, I end up smoking too much, which is probably what's happening today, although I haven't smoked all morning since I was trying to start my car this morning. So it's now after 12 and I'm now smoking. I don't know where all my weed went, just like I don't know where all my money went. It's kind of what happens. And I just wish I had been smarter in my younger days about some of the decisions that I made. And that's all I'll say about that. So, I pretty much already talked about stuff that I wanted to talk about on here. Right now I'm listening to some music. So it's Charlotte Adigiri and Bolas Pupil, and their album is called Topical Dancer. This is a newer album. I'm listening to it now. It's kind of cool. Oh wow, it's 51 minutes. Okay, definitely won't be listening to the whole album. Released not only this year, but this month, actually, March 4th. I believe BNM, Best New Music from Pitchfork. It's listed as electronica on Apple Music, which isn't totally accurate, but it is. It's kind of like an I don't know, electro dance kind of album, but also kind of like arty and interesting. It's cool. It's cool. I like it. Maybe one of the better albums this year. Possibly. So what else is going on? I don't know. I'm just like smoking too much, kind of out of it. Kind of had a headache this morning, but I'm feeling a little better now. I was pretty out of it from the weed. And yesterday, I think what happened was I didn't smoke all morning, and like I took care of the shit that I needed to take care of in the morning, and then I smoked, I think, after 12, and it just like blitzed me. I got so fucking high, and then I just proceeded to like smoke like a little bit, you know, just a little bit by bit for the rest of the day. But that shit adds up. Just like with money, it adds up. And speaking of money, I actually do have to call the IRS, so I wasn't gonna do it because I was like already fed up with the day. I was like, fuck it. But TurboTax is only free for one more day, I guess, tomorrow. So I'm gonna get on this. Peace.